Well, customer relations, looking after customers, it is the number one priority for all businesses. And this week on the District 32 Business Insider Show, we have someone who actually practices this and actually does what he says he will do. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Michael Willington, and my very, very special guest is Rob Heldorn. How are you, Rob?
Good, thanks, Michael. How are you?
I'm very good, thanks. Now, your business name, or your business is Aria Telco Management. Could you just give the listeners a bit of a snapshot about that? Because there's something special you do that I think a lot of us in business, we can get some hints and tips off you on this better customer or client relationships that you practice.
Yeah, look, I mean, the main premise of the business is that it's a management service business more than just a standard traditional telco business. And what I mean by that is that we actively look after our clients and manage our client relationships long term. It's not a standard situation where you would normally get with a telco business where you sign up to a plan or a phone or what have you, and then you don't hear from them for 2 years and, you know, you've stuck dealing with customer service teams and all of that sort of thing. So we're essentially the opposite of that. The one rule I've got for my clients is never call a customer service number under any circumstances. Call us. We'll deal with those guys. You get on with running your business.
Wow. Wow. There's a few people going, oh, how do we get robbed?
Look, it's just the traditional model of telco. It's, you know, sales guys have got their sales targets and that's what they look at and that's what they go out and achieve. And they've got no interest for the most part in actually managing relationships.
It's interesting. Yeah, it's interesting you say that because, you know, a lot of us in business, we focus on the sales targets. You know, we've got to get these targets. How are we going this month? Let's get a better budget. And you approach it from a different angle, don't you? And I just found this really fascinating. Do you want to share your thinking and thoughts and attitudes around this area?
Yeah, so it's one of the things when I started the business nearly 6 years ago now, that's gone quick, is that I had a look at all of the things that I enjoyed about telco because I'd been in the telco industry for 16, 17 years at that point, and all of the things that I thought were broken or that I wasn't happy with. And the main one really was the sales target approach. So, yeah, the traditional telco company, that's what they care about. They have their sales targets, that's what they focus on, and everything kind of revolves around that. And I looked at that and said, well, I don't think that's actually, it's certainly not the best outcome for the client because they're beholden to a lot of the time being sold or presented with deals that may not necessarily be the best for them, but it's the best for the sales rep to get to their target. And I actually don't think it's the best way to approach business for the telco company either, because at the end of the day, if that's all you're worried about, then you're not going to form long-term relationships. You're not going to get referrals going. You're not going to get all of those sort of things that I value with my business more than just a once-off sale or commission. So, I made the decision from day one, essentially, that I would never have sales targets in my business. No monthly, quarterly, annual, no nothing. So got plenty of goals, got plenty of things that I'm focused on, but not one of them is related to I need to make X amount of sales this month to justify why I've got a company.
Yeah, it's really interesting because, you know, when I switched my thinking into this, it was really, one of the guys said to me, he said, you know, you're focusing on the outcome, and when you hit your target, you stop working. Salespeople hit their targets and they go, well, I've made my budget. I'm
100% sandbag everything for next month and just chill out for the rest of the month.
Yeah. And what I was taught was, instead of looking at outcomes, have a look at actions, things you should be doing on a continual basis. Is this what you do, Rob?
Yeah, exactly. So all of my KPIs and everything that I actually look at are more around activity than the outcome. It also, what I found is it also actually gives you a lot more answers than just looking at, did I hit my sales target this month or not? That's a very black and white way of looking at things, and there can be a number of reasons why. I mean, look, one of the KPIs that I've always looked at is how many phone calls that I'm making every day, you know, prospecting type phone calls. And so if you look at setting yourself a target for number of calls that you've made, if you're making that number of calls but not getting the number of appointments that you want over, you know, you can't just do this over a couple of days or a week, you've got to give yourself a decent go at it.
Yeah.
But yeah, once you've got that data there, you can look at it and say, okay, I'm making enough calls, but I'm not getting enough appointments. What am I saying on the phone that's not right? Or if you're getting the number of appointments that you want to achieve, but then you're going to those appointments and you're not converting them, okay, what's going on within the appointment that's not? There's so much more to it than just black or white saying, did you hit your sales target this month or not? I don't look at it as an intelligent way to run a business just to look at sales targets.
You know, when I talk to like all the big guns, they're a little bit like yourself. The sales are what come from the activities they do. You know, I often think of Apple. You know, Apple build Apple stores so you can go and experience their product. No one there's trying to sell you anything. You get to go in there and just play all day long if you want.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why they've become so massive. It's the same as a lot of online content that you see these days. And I know I've had the conversation with a number of people that, you know, having call to actions in every post that you put up online and all of this sort of stuff, if people want to find you and want to do business with you, it's not hard for them to do that. Just give your content away for free, give all your best ideas away for free, and people are going to come to you. You don't have to, you know, provide...
Yeah,
call to actions and link this and click here and call.
Oh,
and
I think we've had this conversation about LinkedIn, haven't we? We've joined people on LinkedIn, and the first email we get is "Do business with me."
Yeah, exactly.
So
you know straight away when you get that DM within 30 seconds of accepting somebody.
Oh, I know.
You know exactly what it's going to say.
Yeah, and it's so funny, but you're. Image building, how do you go about demonstrating that to clients before they become a client? Do you have a strategy? How do you educate them around why you're different and how you're different?
Yeah, so look, a lot of that is what I just touched on around the social media aspect of just giving away all of your best information for free. It's a lot of people, and I know it's not in telco because I've spoken to many people in different industries, but they feel like they've got this idea, they've got this secret that nobody else knows, so they can't tell anybody else because if they let out this secret that all their customers or potential customers will be able to do it for free, and you know they won't have get, and it's just completely broken thinking. I do it the complete opposite way. I've put out videos on YouTube. I've put out copious amounts of posts on LinkedIn and Facebook and all of that. And basically give away all of the secrets. And my premise with that is if you watch all of my YouTube videos, listen to the podcast, have a look at the content that I've put out there, you'll never actually need to use me as a business if you just do everything I say to do in those. But what happens is the reality is 97% of people won't do it for themselves anyway. So you've lost potentially 3% of the market. The 3% that will go and do it for themselves, half of them are going to bugger it up and come to you to fix it. So, you know, but in the meantime, you're giving away all of the you're positioning yourself as the expert in the industry, and the fact that you're coming from a place of abundance. You're not worried about giving away all of this information. And look, the reality is the only people that I've ever had that were upset about any of my content have been other telco people, because I'm giving away all their secrets, apparently. Guys, come on.
I know. It's funny because when you look at customers, I mean, customers want to come to it. I've often said, and I totally agree with you on this, it's about educating. If you can educate a customer so the customer can make a better buying decision, so the customer feels empowered, they're more comfortable in dealing with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, because it's, you know, you almost build a relationship indirectly by doing it, because you're not, especially in sales, I guess, I think a lot of people in sales have got the stigma, like the used car salesman type stigma, where you go into a meeting, and I've had this a lot of the time in my career, especially early on before I worked all this stuff out, but you'd go into a meeting and people are concerned of, okay, what am I going to get stitched up on today?
Yeah.
You know, whereas if you're completely open and transparent and going, look, this is the way that I do everything, and you're putting it out on social media for everybody to see, then, you know, it removes that stigma straight away. They know they're dealing with somebody that's genuine and has, you know, hours and hours of content out there that backs up everything you're being told in the meeting. So you become very consistent in your message.
I think the other thing by doing it the way you're doing it, and I think it comes across to the listeners who are joining in now, is that you just basically eliminate the closing. You know, these people tell you the fancy closing lines, the power clauses, you know, the double buddy entrapment things, whatever they come up with. But the way you're doing it, there's kind of no closing because the customer's buying.
Yeah, they are. And look, and it kind of goes even further than that. Is I actually have taught a lot of my own clients and just even through my content that I've put out on social media of how to avoid getting caught by those closes. So not only am I not using them, I'm teaching people what to look out for and how to get around it and how to use a typical salesperson's agenda against them to get yourself a better deal. Because my outlook is I'm not going to deal with every client in Perth, let alone everybody in Australia. That's not the goal.
No.
But I'd rather that people have this knowledge themselves so that they – if they're not dealing with me, they can deal with anybody else, but at least they know themselves now what to look out for.
Yeah. Yeah. It's where do you think this attitude of yours comes from? Where's it grown from?
So look, I started out in telco in 2000 in Melbourne. And I was basically trained the traditional telco way, go out, you know, knock on doors, get your sales, get them in the door and this and that. And It was the standard sales training that most people get in entry level positions, I guess. But that was the environment that I started out in, and I was in that sort of environment through various companies that I worked with. But same sort of environment for the better part of the first decade of my career, and then started working for a company in Sydney that completely changed my whole perspective on that and taught me that it wasn't about just getting the sales. We had sales targets with that company, but it wasn't just about that. It was more about developing those relationships. And so I was with that company for 7 or 8 years and then moved to Perth and was actually still working with that company when I moved to Perth for a little while, but ended up leaving there and going back into a traditional telco dealer. And all of a sudden was like, okay, hang on, nothing's changed in the last decade. Like, it's all the same stuff that I still remember from back then. And it just kind of hammered home the point that, okay, this is not the right way to be doing things. And at that point, I'd bought and sold a bit of property, so I had some money behind me. I was able to actually finally start my own business, which was always the end goal anyway.
Yeah.
But going back to work for that other company I was only there about 9 months, but it really was a wake-up call to say, okay, I'd kind of been out of that environment for 7 or 8 years, but that was still the way everybody was being taught to do things. It was still the standard for the industry. Yeah. And I just wasn't happy with that at the end of the day.
So when you went into doing your own business, you've seen a methodology that you really liked and really resonated with yourself. Then you've gone back and it's kind of reiterated that to you. But when you start your own business, what were some of the challenges? Did you have any fear going into it? Did you ever think, now I'm going to do this for myself? Because it's different when we do it with other people, like for somebody else's established company. But now we're going to do it for ourselves. Did you go in, oh my God, do you get tempted to go down the sales target route? Or how did you get around that?
I really didn't. So I didn't get tempted to go down the sales target route. I was in a somewhat fortunate position at the point of starting the business where, as I say, I'd bought and sold a bit of property. I had a little bit of money behind me, not a ridiculous amount, but I had enough to probably see me through the first 12 months while I was getting the business up and going. So I wasn't hamstrung by, okay, I need to make sales on day one just to be able to eat tomorrow. I was lucky in that way. But at the same time, there was also a lot of hard work to go into creating a business from scratch that is completely against the entire industry model. And actually trying to make that work.
Yeah.
And as I say, I got a lot of pushback from traditional telco salespeople and managers and what have you, especially in the very early days. But for me, it was more important to push through that and make sure that I actually got this business working, because it was going to be very, my outlook on it was going to be very important for, especially in Perth, which is where the majority of my client base is, to actually have somebody here that was representing the values of that other company that I was working for in Sydney. So a lot of, when I started the company off from the very outset, a lot of the way that I set it up was based on what we were doing with that company in Sydney.
I got to ask you, did you write a very detailed business plan or kind of an outline strategy? What was your approach?
Mine was very, very vague. It wasn't very detailed at all. So as I mentioned earlier, like I had a list of all the things I loved in telco and a list of all the things I hated or wasn't happy with in telco, and I just had them on a whiteboard.
Yeah. And everything you sound like that me.
It really was. It was everything that was in the love column. I just, okay, yep, we're keeping that. Yep. Everything that was in the hate column was, okay, what's the polar opposite of this? And so I wrote that on the whiteboard and I just did that. And that's essentially how I started it, was because I had that, 16, 17 years experience of doing this stuff, that I kind of knew what worked, what didn't work. And I guess I felt like the model that I ran with for the business, I knew it worked because it worked for the company in Sydney. So I knew the model itself would work.
Yes.
It was just about, okay, I've got no real contacts, no real database, no real nothing in Perth. How do I make it work like genuinely from scratch? It was fine in Sydney because when I started with that company, while it was early, we still had a decent client base.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot to be
said.
Whereas
over here, I had nobody. I'd only moved to Perth a couple of years earlier, so I really didn't have a network of people. And that's where District 32 came in. And I joined D32 within less than 6 months of starting the business.
Yeah.
And I've said to Dean and Lorraine many times that my business wouldn't be anywhere near what it is without them, because it's the amount of value that I've gained, not just from signing clients from, whether it's members or referrals or what have you, but just speaking with the other business owners.
Yeah.
I think that's what's been most valued to me about District 32, is because I came in knowing absolutely nothing. And just speaking to people about, this is what they did, or this is, and getting that knowledge from people that have been in business 5, 10, 15 years was invaluable to me.
Yeah, and I think there's something in that. Did you not only just get, it's about momentum, isn't it? So if you're starting from scratch, you've got to get momentum somewhere. And things like District 32, where you meet other people, it starts that emotional, I can do this, and you're learning from them. So you get that knowledge momentum going. And then as you start picking up clients and money starts to come in, once you can get out of inertia and there's some momentum going, the money starts coming, if you keep just amplifying it, it really does roll on. But it's a very good, interesting point you're saying about joining a networking group with like-minded individuals who are very supportive.
Yeah, and that's what I found with D32, is I'd been in other networking groups as well, and I didn't get that same vibe, but with D32, it really was that everybody is there to support and help each other, especially Dean and Lorraine. And, having access to the two owners of the company makes a big difference as well.
It does.
The other groups I've been in, you're kind of just a number, you're there and, it's some of them, they have their good points and their bad points, but I just felt like D32 was just more of a fit for what I was looking for.
Yeah.
And definitely was the one that I think nurtured probably is the right word for somebody that was so new to business and so green. Yeah, I was definitely helped out a lot by having the introductions that I got through the other members.
I just want to just go back into, so you've got inertia, like it's a standstill. You've just started, you've whiteboarded it. I like your technique for whiteboarding, by the way, taking what you don't like and just do the polar opposite.
Just do the opposite.
That's great. How do you get your first client? What was that like for you? What did you actually do?
Okay, so I'm going to tell you about my second client, because I kind of cheated with my first client, was my sister.
Oh, okay.
She said to me when I started, she goes, "Can I please be your first customer?" And I'm like, "Yeah, okay, cool."
Yeah.
So, no, my second client, so look, it was just doing the yards. It was everything that I'd known from when I was a sales rep previously and what we spoke about on focusing on activity. I got hold of a list of businesses around Perth, and I just started making phone calls, and I gave myself the target from day one of making 100 calls a day.
Wow.
And, you know, as you progress, that becomes unrealistic and the number mm-hmm. has to drop and all of that. But, you know, to start with, I had nothing. So I had to start making those calls. So, and that's exactly what I did. Made the call, said, look, this is what we're doing. We're working with all the different telco companies and we just want to come in and do a review of where you're at the moment and what we would suggest moving forward. And it was really those short, sharp phone calls. There was no trying to sell over the phone. It was just trying to set up the meeting and go out and start meeting with potential clients. That's really what it was.
I think what you said there, you know, you're going out and do a review. I call it a core product. Like it's not designed to make money. It's designed to get a customer. And that's what I like about, you know, what you're, and that's why I wanted to bring that up, because I did like that approach that you go in, look, I'm not doing this product as it is to make money. I'm doing this because I can use this product to then hopefully take from a prospect to a client, which is what the name of the game is.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was, it was more important for me to get in front of people and then have the conversations about, you know, where we go sales wise rather than just trying to close people over the phone just to get those couple of quick wins in. It was, I mean, having essentially it was a free analysis of their account or a free review or what have you. But when you go in and see somebody and you're not charging them for your time from day one, like I'm, you know, there's professions out there that as soon as you pick up the phone that, you know, you're going to get charged for every 30 seconds you're on the phone, that sort of thing, right? But, you know, it wasn't about that. It wasn't – I'm not worried about making, you know, $100 for a meeting when I can go and see this client, hopefully do a good job for them, and, you know, they become a client that they stick with me for, you know, 5-10 years. And, you know, as I say earlier, the business has been around nearly 6 years at this point, and I've got clients that still to this day that I signed within that first 6 months.
Wow. I mean, that's testament to it, isn't it? And I think it's a real testament to that strategy and that styling you had. And I said, I do like that, your attitude. It always comes through when I speak to you, is that it's, you're prepared to give your time, your knowledge and your resources to people. And your attitude is, hey, if I do a great job, you'll be able to do it yourself, but you know what? I kind of know you're going to go, I'm not in the telco business anyway, so you take care of it for me, but at least I know what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. And it gives them that visibility, and the transparency I think is very important as well. As, you know, I'm not trying to play games. There's no smoke and mirrors. There's no, you know, not hiding this from you or that from you. It's just, this is exactly what I'm doing. You could go and do it yourself, but I'm happy to do it on your behalf. And I think, as I say, the management side of things is far more important than, look, I've had clients that I've saved them literally $100,000 a year on their phone bills.
Wow.
You know, so saving money is great, but even with that client, it's more about, they just don't want to be on the phone to the networks. They want to speak to me and I'll speak to the networks, because they know that, and they know that if they speak to one of the networks, they could be finessed or have, you know, the salesperson could use some sort of spin tactic on them to sell what he really wants to sell, not what they... actually how I say that.
They wouldn't do that, would they, Rob?
The first place. No, of course not. That's not what they get taught. They would, no, never. But, you know what I mean? Like, it's more important for them to have me there that they can just send me an email or give me a call and say, here, this is the issue, get this fixed. And I send them one back half an hour later saying, here, done.
So I got to ask, someone as progressive as yourself, what is your vision for the company? What do you actually want to do with this thing? What's your next plans, or where are you going to take it?
Oh, global domination is the normal answer to that. Isn't it? No, look, for me, it's a lot of my growth has been, as much as there's been a lot of hard work and everything that's gone into it, a lot of my growth has been organic at this point. Having said that, I have also been through 3 acquisitions in the last couple of years as well. And I think that's potentially where the business is essentially going to continue. I mean, the growth that we're seeing at the moment is very good, but I am always on the lookout now, having realised that acquisitions aren't as big and scary as I first thought they were going to be. That, you know, I am actually looking at acquisitions in the future and growing the reseller arm to the business as well, because we do now have resellers all around the country that are either running with the ARIA brand or in most cases are actually running under their own banner, which personally I think is is we have both options because they both work and they're both good for clients. But I think the ones that I've found that are running under their own banner seem, I don't want to say take it more seriously, but they seem to be the ones that are more interested in growing their own brand rather than worrying about, you know, growing somebody else's brand for them.
A more personal connection for them, that it's more ownership feel to it.
Yeah, and I feel like those individuals are more in line with my outlook on business, where it is more about relationships long term.
Yeah.
Because they are looking at building those relationships with their clients. And that's, I think that's the most important thing in business, is if you're growing those relationships, then you've always got that available. Whereas if all you're doing is running around trying to sell, then what happens if you have a month where you don't sell anything? It's always a risk.
The someone listening to this who's in that maybe a bit of a struggle situation, or maybe their business is just ticking and they're going, oh, I need to give it a bit of a kick. What would be your one leading piece of advice to them from yourself?
Give away all your best information for free.
Wow.
it really is. It's I can only speak about what I've done and what's worked for me. And I think giving away all your best information for free is an easy answer, but it's the core answer to a lot of other things. It opens up so much more for you.
Yeah.
So if you are struggling in business and you do need to make some changes, just get onto LinkedIn, get onto Facebook, Instagram, wherever your client base is, YouTube, wherever they're going to be, and just give out all of your secrets that you're so worried that other people are going to find out and they're not going to want to use your service. It's the polar opposite outcome of what you expect it to be.
Well, I've got to ask, because we're about to wrap up, what is your, what for ARIA Telecom Management, what is their ideal client? What's the ideal client for you? So someone listening goes, ah, that's me. I'll give Rob a call.
Look, I mean, my ideal client, it's funny, and within District 32, I've had a couple of different answers for this over time, but the one that I keep going back to is my ideal client's actually somebody that is happy with their current telco provider. And it sounds like the weirdest answer in the world to this question. Normally you'd think, okay, you want somebody that's going to be upset with their current provider, because then they're, you know, easy pickings and you can sign them up and away you go. The reason that I say the opposite to this, and I want people that are happy with their telco provider, is because they're the ones that I've found a lot of the time are just complacent. And again, going back to that client that I saved $100,000 a year, that was the first conversation. They said, look, I don't even know why I'm talking to you. I was told that I should be talking. They were a referral. I was told I should be talking to you. But, you know, our guy's been looking after us for a few years. We're really happy with him, this and that. And at the end of the day, I saved him $100,000 a year. So that's an extreme version. That's not going to be everybody, especially, you know, small businesses that are spending, you know, $200, $500, $1,000 a year on, a month on their phone bills. Obviously aren't going to be in that sort of ballpark, but it's more about making sure that they are actually reviewing it and keeping on top of it. That's my answer. Somebody that is happy with their current telco provider, they're the ones I want to speak to.
Wow, absolutely fantastic. And if someone wants to contact you now, Rob, who's gone, maybe I'm being a bit complacent.
Look, I mean, all the standard areas, we've got our LinkedIn page, our Facebook page. You can contact us on our 1300 number, 1300 959517, or just on the website, ariatelcomanagement.com.au.
I will mention one thing. Aria, can you tell people where that name came from? I loved it.
Aria is actually my daughter's name. So... Look, I know we had this conversation the other week. When I started the business, the entire reason I started this business from day one was so that I could provide a life for myself and my daughter.
Wow.
And be able to, you know, pay the rent, pay food, take her to school, and, you know, just the basic things of being a good dad.
Yeah.
That was the whole reason I started the business, just to provide for her.
Absolutely.
Into a lot more than that.
I wanted to include that because that is a real, I love that part. Absolutely love it. Rob, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for making your time on to come on to the District 32 Business Insider Show. Thank you very much.
No worries. Thanks, Michael. Great speaking to you as always.